That's right, from Manila, Philippines, a country where they do turn back time. That's where I am. Prior to the break, did you hear me say from the high? And I stopped myself. They didn't cut me off. I stopped myself. I almost said from the high desert, but no. I'm here on the other side of the world, a country where they do turn back time. The big news for me is that my antenna is up. Ham radio again is raging away. By the way, those of you who know Dennis Machenbecker, I'm slaughtering his last name at the Yaesu Company. Tell Dennis I'm looking for him. I got to get a hold of Dennis at Yaesu. So if somebody out there knows him, tell him Art Bell's looking for him. Anyway, I found out something very interesting, and this is going to go to the ham operators out there, and then we'll go back to the other topics very quickly. It's not the same here as it is back in North America. And by that I mean something I found out, good friend Fred, K3ZO. I was talking to him the other night back in Washington, D.C., and he informed me. I always thought, here I am down near the equator. We're not far from the equator here. But Fred told me that the very weird conditions that we find here for you hams, for example, 15 and 20 meters are open, literally almost 24 hours a day. I can talk to my friends over in just, over the water there in Thailand, in Bangkok, northeast Thailand, virtually any time of day or night on these frequencies, 15 and 20 meters, which normally back in the States, particularly when we're not having sunspots, which are few and far between these days, I can talk to them just about any time. Or my friends over in South Africa, and there's a reason for it. And that reason is called the geomagnetic equator, not the geographic equator, which isn't far away, but the geomagnetic equator, which is a totally different animal. And the geomagnetic equator runs right through the Philippines and then runs right through southern Thailand. And as a result of that, and why, I don't know. I'm not an expert in this area, but as a result of the fact that the geomagnetic equator runs right through here, we can talk to these people who are also located on the geomagnetic equator so very easily. And so everything's upside down here in more ways than one. We're not just on the other side of the world, but at night, the bands open up. During the day, they're quiet. In fact, it was so weird when I first put up an antenna here, I would listen during the day, I'd hear nothing. I'd go, oh man, this place is just dead, radio dead. But one night, just by accident, I turned the radio on, and oh my God, the bands are going nuts. I'm hearing people from all over the world after the sun goes down. And that's backwards from the way it ought to be. And the reason for that, I finally found out, is that we're virtually sitting right on top of the geomagnetic equator, as opposed to the geographic equator. So it's something brand new. I've got a chart. I actually put it up on the website for a little while. It's not there right now, but I'll get it up so you all can see it. Those who care about such things, it's really weird, really strange, but then again, it's a strange part of the world, the geomagnetic equator. We'll be back with open lines in a moment. Well, all right, here we go. Open lines, unscreened open lines. I have no idea what's coming up, but you do. Wild card line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Art.
Yes.
It is a pleasure to speak to you again after so many years. I have you were talking about the country that turned back time. I want to talk a little bit about turning back time, if I may.
You may.
My grandfather was a scientist. He died 10 years ago at the age of 94. And he worked for NASA for many years, designed a lot of the parts that went up in the early moon satellites. And before that, he was an officer at the Philadelphia Navy Yards. And I don't know, I may be totally out of line with this, but I want to get your take on this. It's too bad that your guest isn't still there because I'm sure he could have given me some input on it too. Several months before my grandfather died, he took me out on his back porch one day, and he was trying to tell me something. It was something that I guess he had held as a secret for so many years. And he kept repeating over and over again, the dead should not rule the living. And he was talking about something that happened during World War II, and I'm wondering if he wasn't somehow, some way involved in the Philadelphia experiment.
I thought that's where this might be going.
Yeah, I haven't heard anybody talk about it for years. I think most everybody who was involved in it is probably dead. And what's your take on that?
Well, all right, I'll try and comment on it. I've done a number of interviews, as you well know, on the Philadelphia experiment. And they were riveting interviews. Did our U.S. Navy attempt to produce a cloak of invisibility for a naval ship because of the war? Well, I think the answer to that is probably yes. I'm sure they have tried. If not then now. Certainly, it's an ongoing, as a matter of fact, they're getting very close to three-dimensional invisibility. That's another story. Back then, did they try? I can imagine that they did. Did it have results that went well beyond invisibility? It's entirely possible. Did people get welded into the deck of that ship? Did it disappear? Did it, in fact, go to another time? I have no way of knowing these things for sure. I have a feeling that they tried. Whether the results of that experiment were exaggerated or not, I don't know. But did they try? Yes, I think so. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Hi.
I didn't know it was me or if it was me or not.
Only you know that for sure, but it sounds like you. Where are you calling from?
Yeah, it must be. I'm calling from Florida.
Okay.
I wanted to talk about our founding fathers a little bit because of the recent legislation, which is a great power grab of the federal government. The general welfare clause of the Constitution has been used as an excuse for these kind of programs, starting back with FDR. Jefferson was probably one of the most liberal founding fathers we had. And this is what he had to say about the General Welfare Clause. Congress has not unlimited powers to provide for the general welfare, but only those specifically enumerated. There are 18 enumerated powers in the Constitution. The federal government cannot do anything other than those 18 things. James Madison wrote the Constitution. This is what he has to say about the general welfare. If Congress can do whatever in their discretion can be done by money and will promote the general welfare, the government is no longer a limited one, but an indefinite one subject to particular exceptions. Now, they fought their entire lives to leave us with a constitutionally limited federal government. The states have very general powers. The federal government has very specific limited powers. In other words, social programs are constitutional at the state level, but not at the federal level. Another quote from James Madison. The government of the United States is a definite government, confined to specific objectives. It is not like state governments, whose powers are more general. Charity is no part of the legislative duty of the government. James Madison.
All right. Well, hold the quotes there. I'm pretty much familiar with what our founding fathers have said. Here's what I will say, without trying to inject myself into the big fight going on right now about health care. Something had to be done. You cannot tell me that a nation as wealthy as the United States can allow its citizens to, when a major health crisis comes along, be devastated. In other words, you get to whatever age you are, you get cancer or some other life-threatening disease, and everything can be taken from you, everything, and your family. It's not just you. Perhaps you're doomed with your cancer. Who knows? But everything can be taken from you, your house, the future that you've arranged for your family and your children, all of that can be taken from you because you're sick. And so whether or not the right thing is being done with the current programs just signed into law, I won't comment on that, but I will comment on the fact that something had to be done. And I have never in all my life been able to believe that the U.S., rich as it is, perhaps misplacing its money, and you can make that argument, spending without thought, but with regard to healthcare, something had to be done. It simply could not go on the way it was. It was wrong. It was wrong that somebody could lose everything simply because they became sick. And I won't comment beyond that at this moment. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello, Art Bell.
Yes.
Oh, it's me. Calling you from Youngstown. It's great to hear your voice again.
It's great to be heard, sir. We've got a slight time delay because I am on the other side of the world. It's great to be heard. Thank you.
Well, I'm not a physicist or anything like that, but I was kind of following along with your guest earlier, and it's a very interesting take. And the lady caller also had a very eloquent way of putting things. I kind of have to agree with her, with consciousness and all that. And my take on this entire thing is perhaps because we only can view things from a three-dimensional plane, that, you know, we don't have an entire grasp on everything, and perhaps there isn't a beginning and an end as far as the universe is concerned. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it's just always been in existence. I mean, that's just a thought. I could be wrong, but...
Well, I think there's a theory called steady state that represents there was no real Big Bang. There never was. It's always been here.
Uh-huh.
But I think science has pretty much disproved that. I mean, we sort of know how everything was formed, including the Earth and the Moon. We know that the Big Bang did happen. We can still listen to the echoes of it. I mean, we know all that happened now.
I actually have a question for you, a little bit off the subject of that. Are you familiar with the Billy Mayer case, the Swiss farmer?
Yes, of course, yes.
What's your take on that as far as whether you think he was legit in having contacts with the Plagiarians, or what do you think about that whole thing?
Okay, Billy Mayer. I think that, like all, how can I phrase this? Like all lies, there's some truth at the basis of it. I think that Billy Mayer did have some contact. I think that, like all things that have some basis in truth, something happened. Now, did it get exaggerated? Was there perhaps a little hanky-panky after a while? Yes, I think so. Was there some truth to it? Yes, I think so. So, you wanted my take on it. That's it. Something really did happen. Did all of that happen? Are all of those photographs real? I have my doubts. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Calling from Houston. That last guest he had on the show, he needs to talk to people that have been in a coma before not into big words, Art. It's a great pleasure talking to you.
Why would talking to somebody who had been in a coma, why would that shed light on?
When you're unconscious, you know, your body function is moving, and sometimes you got a breathing tube in your throat, and mm-hmm. they pull the plug on you. Sometimes your body kicks in, you know, out of a miracle or whatever that might be, but it kicks in and it keeps your mind occupied, and it operates your lungs.
Well, your brain, of course, keeps the basic functions of your body going under normal circumstances. But I can't see why talking to somebody who'd been in a coma would shed any light on all of this. I don't get that at all, sorry. Unless they had some sort of experience that they would tell us about that was beyond the body. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
And since you're in Manila, good afternoon, Art.
Good afternoon.
What came to mind with your guest tonight was the old query, if a tree falls in the forest.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Of course, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you're not there to see it, did it really fall?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, the other thing that I was going to mention is...
Well, when I take a walk in the forest, I see a lot of trees that have fallen. I wasn't
right
there to see them, but nevertheless, they're on the ground.
Yeah, or if a rock rolls down a hill and destroys a house, if no one was there to see it, did it really roll down the hill and destroy the house?
That's right, yes.
There are three things, time, space, and matter, have to exist at the same time.
Time, space, and matter have to exist. Well, yeah, I guess that's right, sure.
You can't have one without the other. You can't have matter without space to put it in. You can't have time without something to time. So before the Big Bang, there was nothing, not even time.
That's
not
right.
Not even space.
That's...
And the Creator created all three.
Well, certainly, I think there was not... time. I have no argument with that because we had no way to measure one object's movement versus another. So there couldn't have been time. Certainly there could have been space. There could have been empty space. Maybe there was a universe of empty space. We have no way of knowing that did not exist. It's an interesting question, but time could not have existed until we had mass. And of course, with mass, you get gravity. Let's go west of the Rockies and say good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Hello. Yes, good morning.
Oh, well, it's really a pleasure to talk to you, Art, a longtime listener, and it's great to be talking to the master.
Thank you.
And just a little shout-out. You were talking about ham radio operators, and I think K6SQ wanted to say hi.
Okay. Hello back.
And, you know, the reason I called, like, the guy kind of stole my thunder, right? Because I really did think the guy was making that same argument about trees falling, you know, in the forest if there's nobody there to hear them.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, nothing exists unless we perceive it.
Well,
not even history.
Well, I do think they fall. That's the thing I mentioned, and you can verify it yourself. Take a little walk in the forest. You will see many fallen trees. The fact that you weren't there to see them, apparently, they still fell.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't necessarily agree with him, but that seemed to be kind of the crux of his argument.
Clearly it was, yes.
So, and then just had a little story, an unrelated story. We had time. I had a friend who used to collect rocks. He was a stonemason and make custom fireplaces around the more affluent areas of L.A. County. And he used to go to the desert. This is in the late 60s, early 70s, to collect unusual-looking stones.
Okay, very quickly, because we're coming up on a break. And so?
And so, yeah, he was out there spending the night on his truck. On the back of his truck, and he was woken up in the middle of the night by a humming noise. And he looked up to his left, and there was a black object that appeared to be humming and maybe spinning about 4 feet away from him. And it sat there, and he looked at it, and it observed him.
Very quickly.
We're
now
at,
well...
20 seconds.
And, actually, we don't even have 15 or 20 seconds. I'm sorry, I've got to go. But that's one of a million stories of the kind that we were really talking about, things that are completely inexplicable, things that get put up on the shelf that they can't explain, so they don't try. They just put them away. We'll be right back. Don't forget, you can also go to the website, coasttocoastam.com, and... there, you can send what's called a fast blast, and I receive it on the computer. Magic. All the way to the other side of the world, just like that. And I've received many, many fast blasts. So if you have a question, go ahead and fire away, and I'll see if I can get to it before the end of the program. All right, we're going to take a break, and back with Unscreened Open Lines. From the capital city of the Philippines, Manila. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM, and I guarantee you we own the night. There's no question about that. By the way, coming next week back to New York, and the Grand WOR that just has a signal that will not quit. So hopefully I'll be with you next week to sort of celebrate that fact. I'm Art Bell, and we'll be going right. Well, let's just go straight back to the line. Sholi, I think this would be the international line. Let me give it a try. You're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. My name is Philip. I'm calling from Montreal. We spoke 3 years ago, as a matter of fact. You approved my appearance on your show to reveal. I'm an independent quantum gravity researcher, and you gave a go-ahead for me to appear on your show. However, I had to postpone due to a cancer in the family. But if you'll allow me, I'd like to perhaps clarify a few things your guest was trying to say.
Well, go ahead and try.
Okay. It's an old debate. What he's labeled as biocentrism is really a famous debate between Einstein and Niels Bohr and the Copenhagen Institute, and it's properly called positivism. It's a positivism versus realism debate. And really, in a nutshell, it comes down to what he was trying to say, that we live in an observer-created reality. And this is John Wheeler's phrase, whom he quoted often. And the philosophical dilemma here is that we live in an observer-created reality in the sense that we should really think of reality as our consensus reality. Science seeks to explain those things that we measure and can measure, and only those things which in fact happen. We don't need a theory, for example, to explain why, you know, lava doesn't come oozing out of a tree while you're having your picnic in the park. This is something that never happens, and we don't need a theory to explain that. So we don't need theories to explain things which don't happen, only things which do happen, which in a nutshell is what we observe.
Yes, but when you get to the quantum world, you need a theory to explain the inexplicable.
Well, you need a theory to... You need to sort out your observations. So we need theories to describe our, to explain, if you will, our observations. And we need to be careful about the use of the word explain as well. Philosophy, underlying principles, those are explanations. Science itself is a description. Science is the what and the how. And philosophy and principles and axioms are the underlying reasons, and those are the why. And our theory, the structure of a theory, is the global explanatory model that we're making to explain or give the reasons why nature appears to, you know, to be behaving as it does. So our consensus reality is what we're seeking to explain, and it's because we can never isolate ourselves from the universe. We are using consciousness to try to explain consciousness. And that's a self-reference problem. The scientific method, you see, would have us isolate ourselves from those things we seek to describe and explain. But we can never do that in the absolute case with ourselves, because we are part of the universe we're trying to explain. And so that is exactly the problem in a nutshell, is that we should think of reality not as a reality as it really absolutely is. Science does not uncover reality as it absolutely is. We cannot make absolute statements because we cannot separate ourselves from that which we seek to explain.
And okay, well, I now feel the headache that I had earlier coming back. I certainly appreciate your call, sir, though, and your attempt to, again, explain the inexplicable. I don't know. I've got to think about, I've got to give a lot of thought to what my guest said, that all of this around us, everything we see, everything we perceive, is only there because of our consciousness. And were it not for our consciousness, it would not, presumably, would not be here, or it would be... Well, that's what causes the headache. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Am I on?
It's you, yes.
Outstanding. First-time caller, this is the first time I've actually gotten through.
All right. Where are you?
Dallas, Texas.
Dallas, okay.
So, just unrelated to your guest, since these are open lines, I have an experience that happened to me. Just wanted to know if you have heard anything like this. That when I was 8 years old, I was looking out my bedroom window, and granted, I grew up in Virginia, right by a military base. And at 8 years old, it was actually on my 8th birthday, I was looking out, you know, the bedroom window that night and saw a flash of light. Well, I woke up the next morning, and I have an unexplained scar on my arm. It's very faint. Looks like it's been there for years, but I never had it the night before. Well,
you think you were abducted?
I honestly do not know. I mean, but again, it happened on my 16th birthday. Then nothing on my 24th. I'm wondering if anything's going to happen on my 32nd birthday.
Well, if it does, be sure and give us a call. I don't know what to say about that, nor about abductions in general, but it is a fascinating topic. It really is, and I know it's there on the fringe of even what we talk about, but I've talked to a lot of abductees, and as I was saying a little bit earlier, even at the base of most lies, there is some truth. So there's something going on. Are we being told about it? No. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Is that me?
That's you.
Hey, cool. How you doing? I'm
fine. I'm sorry. It's Joe from where?
Checking around Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
I've got a question. There's been a lot of scandal going on in the UN with the comet survey thing. Afraid I don't know all the exact words. What's your opinion on that? Because I read your book, The Coming Global Superstorm. Yeah, I read that back in the early 90s, in the early 2000s. And, it explained to me a lot about why the woolly mammoths are encased in ice 5,000 years ago and other such quandaries. Mm-hmm. I just wondered what you think about this climate survey having all these scandals with the information being doctored, so to speak.
Okay. All right. Yes, he's referring, of course, to the infamous now emails. I think that, once again, there is some basis in truth to the fact that some of the numbers were fudged. However, there is simply no question about the fact that the climate is changing. Now, the argument, as always, is about how much of a percentage is due to man's hand and how much is due to natural cyclical changes in the global climate. And I remain convinced, despite the emails, that it's a scientific certainty that we are having some effect on the climate. By us, I mean man. So I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. It's a shame that occurred. Do I think that it means that the whole global warming thing is a scam? No, I don't. I understand why those who always thought that jumped on this as hard as they did, but I don't think it changes the basic science. I truly don't. So if that answers your question, fine. If not, we can take it up in the future and talk more about it. East of the Rockies. No, that'd be west of the Rockies. I'm sorry, you're on the air.
Hello, Art. This is Downtown Dave. I used to call you quite a bit from Anchorage, Alaska, but now I live in Washington. Art, I just want to tell you how much I miss you and how much I appreciated you over the years. You're like an old friend. And my question is tonight, your happiness level. It seemed like around 1997 there was a lot of bad stuff going on. And now your life has changed quite radically. Could you comment on where you're at when it comes to being happy and also any benefits or challenges you have with the new wife that you got? Because I really admire you for that. And God bless you, Art. God bless you, brother.
Okay. Thank you very much. Oh, I don't know. My happiness level is high. Things are going well in life, and challenges. Well, I'm keeping up with my young wife, and that's a challenge. My daughter is a challenge and a joy. My general happiness level, I can't spend a lot of time on this, but it's high. I'm very happy indeed, very happy with my life, and very happy to be where I am right now. And I think my happiness level went up several notches when I was able to get my antenna up. No, I'm happy. We've got a remarkable life here, and I really would love sometime to talk about what it's like to live in an exotic country like the Philippines, and just chat with you about it. There are so many differences that I wouldn't even know where to begin. It's, if you've ever come to the Far East, and not many Americans do, they just don't come to the Far East. They tend to go on vacation in Europe or, you know, wherever, but very rarely do they come to the Far East. And Southeast Asia is an amazing part of the world. It is so very different that I would need a full program to explain it to you, to discuss it with you. It's an amazing part of the world, simply amazing. So I'll leave it at that for now because there's just not enough time, but let me express the opinion that, again, I would like the time to discuss it with you. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello?
Hello. Yes, hello.
Hi there. I wanted to offer a theory that you mentioned about before the Big Bang, what was the consciousness that had to make that real? And
right.
Something I came across was that there is just one singular consciousness, and that me and you and everybody else is just all one. And so the Big Bang is we're still kind of in this bubble, and it's just a different form of that. And then we have a, you know, the subconscious level where, you know, your art on Mike, that's the physical plane we're in, but we're still inside, you know, that singular consciousness, and that what created the Big Bang.
Well, it may well be, sir, that God is inside all of us. I read somebody's prose that suggested that there was God, and he was lonely, and he was so lonely that he blew himself up, and that was the Big Bang, and that we are now that God is within all of us. I don't know if that is so, but I found it compelling and interesting to think about. Let's go back to the first time caller line, giving somebody a chance. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
Hello, this is Richard. I'm out here in the desert by Baker, California.
That's near home.
Yes, sir. It's an honor and a privilege to talk to you. I've listened to you for years, and I miss you very much. I had a theory on the trees falling in forests. If a tree falls in a forest and a man's standing next to it and he hears it fall, but he has no one to tell it to, did it still make a noise? Absolutely.
That's a new one.
And yeah. I think that we should just appreciate the trees that are still standing.
Boy, isn't that a fact.
And I do believe that, I believe I'm God. I believe that we're all God. The question I ask myself every morning is, what kind of God am I going to be today? You know?
Well, hopefully a good one, sir. Thank you very much for the call. So short on time. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Jeff on the Mendocino Coast. And from Machu Picchu to Michu, Kaku, and all places in between, and points way beyond. Thanks for all you've brought to the air over the years, man.
You're very welcome.
I talked to you on New Year's Eve. I was caller, or prediction number 69, and I talked about the Mendocino Triple Junction and an earthquake occurring in that area. I said it would be 8+, but 9 days after I spoke to you, Art, there was a 6.5, and I actually felt the earthquake that I predicted, although it wasn't as intense. 9 days later is pretty imminent, which I also mentioned.
Yeah, I know, but 6.5 and 9.5, that's Look up the difference.
Well, yeah, it's like...
You know, you wouldn't be here bragging to me about the 6 if there'd been a 9.5.
Well, I'm not really bragging. My point is, if you were to take a an hourglass as a metaphor for time, the point where it's narrowed down being where we have consciousness and measure that time, the sand below would be events that have already happened that we remember. The sand above is where we would maybe pre-member future events. And as they pass through, maybe we can see them on that event horizon as they come through. And, of course, shortly thereafter, there was an 8.8 in Chile, which was labeled as catastrophic. And my point being, maybe we see some of these grains of sand close together in the future when they happen pretty much, I mean, they were a month apart or so. And with all that occurring, of course, the whole ring of fire is lit up. I mean, you just felt it the other day. But with all that occurring, I wonder how much, you know, we get, as we, you know, we forget sometimes what's happened in the past. Was it this event or was it that event and the details of it? It's pretty incredible, all the guests that you've had over the years that have predicted things. And I guess if we put the Ed Dames test to it, maybe I was a little closer than that. I mean, certainly I wasn't completely right, but I definitely wasn't entirely wrong either on it. And I just wonder if maybe we're seeing that coming through that narrow point where we measure time. We have consciousness, kind of put a metaphor on what was discussed earlier tonight, if that's not part of it, and that sometimes things get a little bit scrambled. So I'm not trying to brag here. I'm trying to kind of dissect and understand why maybe some of those things are seen ahead of time that maybe aren't exactly placed in the right place because of the movement and the coming towards us in that.
Well, I can accept that. Believe me, I can accept that. Nevertheless, the difference between a 6.1, 6.2, and 9.5 is big enough that I'm afraid it's going to be a bonk as opposed to a ding. And as I mentioned, if it was a 9.5, why, in all probability, you wouldn't be able to, well, I won't use the word brag, but even mention your prediction number 69. So it's going to be a bonk, but, you know, I understand what you're saying. There was a little shaker, and it was exactly where you said it would be, just a long way from the kind of severity that you suggested it would be. And by the way, our 6.1 felt on the 19th floor of a condominium, felt pretty big. And he's right about the Ring of Fire. It is shaking, rattling, and rolling. Listen, everybody, from Manila in the Philippines, that's it this night. Boy, the time flew. I'm Art Bell, and I'll be back soon for another ride. Good night.